We've been going through the basics, and we've been talking about some powerful tools that God has put into our hands in this life. The powerful word he gives us, the powerful relationship we have with him. Today we want to talk about, and today and next week as well, powerful possibilities for giving and for finances. And so today I want to talk about giving with my feet on the ground. So we're not really going to talk about giving today. We're going to talk about getting ready to give. And it takes some getting ready to do that. Now, it was about 5 centuries ago that Spain plundered South America. And it did horrible things to South America and put many, many millions of people into slavery. And they've created an instability that is in place even to this day. And the main thing that the King of Spain wanted was shiploads full of silver and gold coming from South America to Spain, and this made Spain the most powerful nation. They really weren't nations yet in the world, but they were forming that idea, and we'll just call it that. It made them the most powerful nation on earth. Great Britain was not great at all at that point in history. It was a fairly minor player. But, well, Spain was getting silver and gold and filling up the basements of their castles with silver and gold and buying everything they needed, buying armies, ships, and all manner of things. They didn't really have any concept much, apparently, of economics, because as they got more and gold and silver out, the value of that silver began to drop. And their power lessened. And there was a new set of things happening at the same time in some of the cities of Europe, Amsterdam, Venice, over to the east in Italy, and London up north. They were experimenting with stock markets. And they were experimenting with loans and banking projects of all kinds. And fortunes were won and fortunes were lost. And when things went badly, kings would go in and just take everything that the banks had and throw them out. And that we went through centuries of that kind of experimentation. And the bottom line was that Spain and all their loads of silver and gold eventually faded and lost out to what to the roots of what became our modern financial system. Because the financial systems that they developed, they were learning how to spread out their risks between one thing and another so that one catastrophe wouldn't collapse the whole system. And that was really the trick. And so Spain ended up between the late 1500s and the late 1600s going bankrupt about 14 different times because they were always waiting for their next boatload of silver to come, and they had spent probably spent some of that already before it even got there. And so you and I live in an amazing age of amazing technology and amazing financial instruments, and those have finally made their way down to us. The people that used to, you know, historically dealt in those kinds of things were very clever, very financially powerful people. If you started a bank, the way you trusted the other people was that you were related to all of them. And that's how these houses in these family names became so great over the centuries in Italy, in London, and Amsterdam. But now, we have been the beneficiaries of that, as well as having gotten beat up along the way, most of us. But we all live well in historical terms. However your life is going right now, you have access to the best healthcare in history. You have houses, we have cars, we have food, we have clean water, we have entertainment. Oh my, don't we have entertainment. We have access to the whole world through our internet connections. And there is, surprisingly, despite what we're being constantly blasted with, there is actually the least amount of poverty that there's ever been in history. There's the least amount of disease, the least amount of oppression. Actually, there's the least amount of military actions and wars going on right now in all of human history. Population, the population of the world is still increasing, but the rate of increasing is leveling off. Population scientists tell us by mid-century, we will be about 10 billion people on the planet, and then it's going to start decreasing. So by the end of this century, when I'm not around anymore, we're going to be back to about where we are now, population-wise. And you'll have other problems if you're young and you're still around then. You won't be young anymore, but you'll have other problems, like about where are we going to get some more young people who like to do all kinds of things that I don't feel like doing anymore. Another thing that's happening is that the planet is actually cleaner than at any time during my lifetime. And that's what the statistics tell us, but that's not good news. There's something in our survival instincts that makes us much more receptive to possible dangers, and so we're always looking, we're always more attuned to negative things than we are to positive things. And so there are entire industries of doomsayers. They know they'll have our ears if they can make us afraid. And so by doing that, by this continual fear coming at us, they create chaos. But in fact, we have had centuries of development of our banking systems. And as I said, it's made it down to us most recently. And it is a powerful, we have some powerful financial tools at our discretion. But it's quite easy for us to tap in to something that's really more than we can handle. And money, in a very real sense, turns out to be a mirror of our souls. And there are big collisions between human nature and reality when you get money involved. Wealth has a way of turning all of our wants, things I used to want. Now that I've got some more money, I really actually need those things, don't you know? Things I could get by with just fine earlier, suddenly I gotta have it. And we're all like that. Was interesting to note in the last couple of years that 2 out of the 5, that is to say 40% of the multi-bazillionaires, CEOs of the FANG corporations, you know, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google, those titans of our time, 2 of them have ended 26 and 27 year marriages. Because I suppose that when you get billions of dollars, you say to yourself some version of, I am a god, am I not? And when you have that kind of money, all the girls think so, or at least make you think they think so. All the girls except your wife, that is. And so their human nature has come into collision with their wealth at some level. Well, the Bible tells us that before we decide to take risks, we ought to know the risks we're taking. It's about wisdom and faith, as I often talk about. So we start with wisdom. We want to know what it is we're stepping out on faith about. We want to know what it is we're trusting God for. And then when we act in faith, we will have we'll know what the cost is. Jesus said, before you follow me, count the cost. Don't just, this is a happy day, we're having a great day, I'm doing miracles today, but you better count the cost, because you're going to be picking up your cross and following me. So first, we get knowledge and understanding. We know what we're getting ourselves into. And now most of us operate at a financially pretty simple level. And the Proverbs, and you might want to start turning to Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to look there in a few minutes. The Proverbs is our foundational understanding of being good stewards of what we have. And the Proverbs has a lot to say about money and finances. And most of us are actually a fair bit, probably, at least in my family, more financially sophisticated than our fairly recent ancestors, because we've come in contact with more complicated financial instruments than our parents and grandparents did. But a lot of us, I fear, are not as clever as we imagine, and we do and can get ourselves into trouble. Now, loaning money is part of a positive biblical conversation, as well as giving is, and we're going to get to that a bit later. So I'm not decrying the process and idea of loaning or borrowing money entirely. In fact, we have missions now that are based mostly on giving micro loans for small business startups in places that have a lot of corruption, where it's impossible for the only people that can get money are people that already have money. And so we recognize these things. We recognize again that our huge national and global economies would have been impossible without the notion of credit. And so many people in our world now, they're motivated to start their own businesses. And I would just say to that those have an extremely high failure rate. And so the proverb for most of us, our modern proverb, probably should be, don't quit your day job. And most of us should live by a modern proverb, something like, don't get into personal unsecured debt. Unsecured meaning, like, if I buy a house, that's a secured debt, because if I get in trouble, can't make the payments, I can sell the house. It's still got value. But if I've got Super Bowl tickets and the Super Bowl goes by, those are worth exactly zero. And I can't sell them and get my money back if I can't make the payments on those. So for most of us, we want to be careful about the debts we take on. And as always, with human nature, people will sell us anything that we are willing to buy. There are people who are clever and deft enough to borrow large amounts of money, or borrow money at low interest rates to invest in the stock market or in options markets, and they can make money that way. I'm never going to do that. I do not trust my ability to do that. A handful of will win, but most will lose. Now, there are also factors about what place in your life are you. There are times in life that are just extremely expensive, like when you have kids, like when you have kids going to school, kids going to college, all those things. I always think of those as sort of like when a python eats a small wild pig. They just have to stop and let it sort of go through, and you can see it going through the snake, you know? And that is how, when you have to take on certain items at certain points in your life, and you have to buy them, and I'm glad we can get mortgages so that we can buy houses. In many countries, the possibility of even owning a piece of land is impossible because you can never really know who owns the land. I mean, title and land ownership is a big deal, and we just take it for granted here in this country. There are times to buy houses, there are times to buy cars, and what we'll find is if we go back to the Proverbs and listen to the basic how to live your life, work hard, work smart, save money, go through those things, we'll find that it will take us through all those wild and wacky things that we have to go through in life. And being consistent will pay us. But I want to back out just a step and look at the Proverbs here at the end of the book of Proverbs. And this king, the sayings of Agur, the son of Jakeh, at verse 7 and following here. He says, "Two things I ask of you, Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehoods and lies far from me, and give me neither poverty nor riches." You okay with praying that? "But give me only my daily bread." Don't give me what I want, but do give me what I need. Oh boy. We live in such a wealthy society that we never even think about what we need because we always have what we need. We're always out there on the want side of the equation. But he gives a reason for that. Let me back up and read it. "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who's the Lord? I don't know him. Do I need him? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God." So part of this is about being who God made us to be. Be who God made you to be. Now, it's not saying be lazy. You know, I'm stuck. Well, I'm not smart enough to do this, or I'm not clever enough to do that. Do all that you can do in this life. Grab a hold. Like the people that were given the talents. One was given one amount, one was given less, and one was given even less. But what you got, do something with it. That's a biblical principle. Be all that God made you to be, but be who you are. Don't try to be someone you're not, or it will get you in trouble. Let's listen to Jesus on this. I'm reading from Luke chapter 16 and verse 10. And he says there, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. If you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you've not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own?" Our human nature shows up clearly in our finances. Our sin nature shows up clearly in our finances. And the great things that God has been doing in our life shows up in our finances. Well, let's move to the Apostle Paul and get his take on this as well. Philippians chapter 4, he says in verse 11, starting there, he says, "I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances." Wow. He's saying this from prison, by the way. "I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him," that is Jesus Christ, "who gives me strength." Jesus provides the possibility of peace. Jesus provides the possibility of financial peace. He moves us away from that constant nagging worry that poor people and wealthy people have who don't know the Lord. Will it be enough? Is there ever enough? There are people in my life who are examples of these things. And some of them have money. I'm amazed by some people. They just They are able to make fortunes, and most of the people that are able to make fortunes have lost one or two of them, and they just don't worry about it. Money is just stuff, and they get money. And I've learned about myself, don't quit your day job. I'm not that guy. And I know other people who've never really had much of anything, and they don't worry either because they walk with the Lord, and they know that the Lord will provide for them. I need those people in my life as sort of reference points. You're okay here, Leon. You're all right. God is with you. Jesus provides our peace in this thing. So just some basic principles of finance today. First thing is, don't forget, the scripture teaches us this. God owns everything. All my stuff is his stuff that he's letting me use for this lifetime. What a deal. Thank you, God, for the house I'm living in. Because when I die, I'm not going to live there anymore. Thank you for all my stuff. Because I'm not taking it with me. I won't need it where I'm going to be with you. That's called stewardship. We are stewards of everything we have. We will give an accounting to him of what we did. I gave you a lot of stuff. I gave you a lot of money. What did you do with that? Oh, well, it's all here in my basement. Not being used anymore. Finances are the biggest factor in divorces. Finances are the number one topic that Jesus talked about more than anything else. More than prayer, he talked about money. He talked about money because he knows how close to our heart it is. He knows what a reflection of us it is. It's closest to our everyday life. I got to go to the market. I got to get this. I got to get that. I got to do this. Money is our option for the next thing we do. Our ledger is a glance into our souls. Another principle that's been really important in my life, and I've seen in many others, is that you and the person you're married to need to get in agreement on financial principles. And when you do, you'll be amazed at how well that works. And you'll be amazed at how hard it is to get to that place. It's a goal worth putting out in front of you. Yes, we have to learn to work together on this because you come from two different tribes, and your two different tribes might just have very different ideas of what this looks like. Well, success, however you define it, but how God defines it, having peace about your finances is the pathway to joyous giving, which is what we're going to talk about next week. But for most of us, we live by the simple proverb that you and I are slaves to our lenders. Proverbs 22:7 says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower becomes the lender's slave. Well, we went to Israel a few years ago. Joe, come on up. Joe Marinelli is going to come and share. And they asked us to help out with some things and give a few short seminars for their congregation there in Bat Yam that is being showered in missiles right now. It's down south near the Gaza Strip. So please do pray for our friends, the Garkovenkos, Max and Tanya, because they're spending their nights in a bomb shelter mostly, and they've got grandkids and kids, and it's very difficult. But what Joe had to share in the area of finances was a very great interest to them, and so I asked him to come and share his story in this topic of debt.
I'm definitely not the most qualified to speak on finances in this church, in this congregation. I've no there was some Sunday school classes I had with Lynn Weaver, Rob Caprera, that really kind of opened my eyes to looking at something other than what the culture is putting out, which is you can afford anything, you deserve a vacation, you do this, so the credit cards pile up, next thing you know, I just found myself, probably 18 years or so ago, about 1 year's worth of my annual salary in consumer debt, not backed up by anything. That was just my credit cards and different things. 1 year's worth of my salary. Just kind of found myself there, which is kind of silly. I got myself there. But I realized I couldn't do what the government does and print money. I had to come up with a different plan. I knew I couldn't continue that, or certainly I couldn't duplicate it. So just started looking at things differently, and started doing the best I could without a whole lot of resources or training. And along the way, we learned of the Dave Ramsey program, which this congregation has shared and made available to people, and made a huge impact. We got rid of our debt, not just the unsecured debt, but we didn't stop there. We got rid of all our vehicle debt. We got rid of our house debt. We have no debt, and I can't take a lot of credit for that, other than we just applied ourselves, but we just were guided in the right direction. And all the things that Dave Ramsey's course talks about are all from, you know, biblical principles, and I would highly recommend their program. But it's interesting what happened, and I can't pinpoint any one thing, but there's so many benefits that Robin and I have benefited, so many ways we've benefited, and I can't even enumerate them, it's impossible, but the three that stand out the most would be, number one, we're able to give. We don't need all kinds of money to make interest payments on things. There's just extra money in the budget. We're able to give, and it just isn't a challenge. It's joyful. It's wonderful. Another benefit I've noticed, guys, is ladies are different than us, and women have a special security gland, if you will. Dr. Dan O'Neill can probably explain that to you better. But they have a security gland, and when they feel secure, their shoulders drop, and they're just more relaxed, and they're more joyful in life. And that's meant a lot to me. And then just third thing, probably just the overall peace. No stress about money. It's not that we don't have stress in our lives, but just not about money. There's other challenges, and we'll sort them out as we can through prayer, do what we do, but none about money. And I don't know that it takes being debt-free to do that, but it's a lot easier. Anyway, my closing thought is this. How many as youngsters ever made funny faces into the mirrors? Come on. Middle age is when the mirror gets even. Oh, yes.
Okay, thank you, Joe. That is great testimony. It just, there's peace to be had when you do things God's way. It's that simple. Let me just talk about a couple of quick things. One of the biggest issues that is coming our way in this generation is what to advise our children about how to go about making a living, whether to go to college or not, whether to go like to Ellis and learn a trade. That game is all changing, and part of the reason that game is changing is that school loans have become one of the most dangerous kinds of loans to have, because you can't get out of them. If you have a house mortgage, if you're buying a house, there are laws to protect you. And if you, even a commercial loan, which is sort of, there's no protections on that, except you can still get out by filing bankruptcy, but you can't do that with school loans. And so we've got a whole couple of generations of young people who are well in debt and can't get out of it any possible way. And what we're seeing is that this was kind of a government thing to increase the availability of federal loans, which of course encouraged the universities to spend more and to hire more, and because the government would guarantee the loans. They weren't going to lose anything. The banks weren't going to lose anything. We're the guarantors for it. And now, of course, they're talking about giving relief to people who have these loans. And it's the same people who started the loan problem in the first place that are looking to give the relief. It's all very manipulative, but it's something that we as, you know, if you're a grown-up, if you've got a child growing up, this is something you need to navigate with great care, because I think the job categories in our world are going to change a lot in the next 40 years. And so that is just something that we need to be getting knowledge and understanding about. So I would recommend to you a program like what Joe was talking about, Financial Peace University with Dave Ramsey, or one of those. Learn the basics of the biblical financial principles and do them. It's the doing that's hard. So if you're paying interest on a credit card, you shouldn't do that. That's not a good thing. So there are different kinds of debts, as we've talked about, and the more of them you can get out from under, the more free you are to do what you want instead of what someone else wants you to do. I'm going to leave it there. Just to say, spend less than you make. That's a Proverbs principle. The ant, it says, stows away for the winter because it knows winter is coming. If your life is based on everything going well, you are doomed to be in debt your entire life. If you keep nothing aside for difficult days, then you're going to be in trouble every time there's a difficult day. There's always difficult days. But what we are seeking is the joy of being able to give. So Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. So borrowing and lending are part of the biblical equation. And then earlier, he's talking about the law. Back in the law, it says in Deuteronomy chapter 15, Moses is talking about God is saying, when you live by my laws and I bless you, here's what's going to happen. You will lend to many nations, Israel, but will borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted, do not be tight-fisted toward them. Rather be open-handed and freely lend. You see, if you meet somebody on the street who is begging for money and you just want to get away from them, you give them something. You're paying them so you don't have to have a relationship with them. But if someone says, I need to borrow some money, you're going to be in a relationship with that person. And the Bible says you ought to be in a position so that you could, if you chose to do that. So there's something in this. So be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. These are fellow believers, where our translation for us would be. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be, and here Jesus quotes this one from Deuteronomy, there will always be poor people in the land. There will always be an opportunity to give and to help. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and in needy in the land. So your finances and my finances are a mirror of our hearts. We want to be givers and lenders rather than takers and borrowers. We live at the wealthiest time and place in history. And so we want to take that opportunity, engage God's wisdom, and having that knowledge and that understanding, we can move in faith and live on needs by faith. God, by faith, I want to be happy with just having my needs met. And if we can be at that place, then we are ready to give with a joyous and open heart. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for talking so much about finances. You knew that we were going to need this because it's right where we live. And we just ask that you would help us to find that place. Don't let us be too wealthy so that we're overcome by our own wealth and say that we don't need God anymore. And Lord, don't let us descend into poverty so that we feel like we must do wrong things in order to survive. Teach us to accept who we are, to not be fools and try to be rich when we're not really made to do that, and to not say that other people ought to do for us when we just don't feel like doing for ourselves. Help us to be wise in the ways that you have called us to be wise, and we will thank you for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Please stand as we sing Great Is Thy Faithfulness.
enlightens us. God says, do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God. Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. Do not use dishonest standards when measuring length, weight, or quantity. Use honest scales and honest weights. And love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Amen? Okay. We're going to meet out under the tree where we have some snacks and goodies and spend some time with the weavers. So let's be dismissed from this place.